Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come before the people of God, where we come together on Wednesday night to explore the Word of God. I'm grateful for each and every one of you taking time out of your busy schedule. And I thank God for the opportunity that He has given me a platform to be able to go before His people. These are trying times that we're living in, and there's so much going on, you know, in the world today. But I just come to give you words of encouragement to let you know that God is still in control. Nothing ever happens unless He orchestrated or allows it. And we just have to hold on to the confession of our faith, keeping our trust placed in God's hand, and He has promised to see us through. Well, our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, the 38th through the 42nd verse. And the title of our lesson is Stop Sweating the Small Stuff. As always, before we explore the word, I play a song, and I'm asking that you listen to the words of the song and meditate on it and see what it has to say about us and where we are in our lives and where we're trying to go. So I'm going to play the song, and after that we're going to go to the throne of grace, and then we're going to explore the word of God together. Listen to the song.
The one who gives like me. Once in a lifetime.
And the name of that song is Once in a Lifetime. And really the reason that I chose that song was because the title of the lesson, Stop Sweating the Small Stuff. In that song, the man talked about how he was always trying to get and gain and win. He said the closer he got, the more distance he felt. And he realized that it was only God that made a difference in his life. So what he was saying in a sense, and why I tied it into the lesson tonight, he's saying he stopped sweating the small stuff and start concentrating on what was truly important. And, you know, that's the, you know, Stop Sweating the Small Stuff is a book that people have out, and, you know, some people always make the statement, stop sweating the small stuff because to God, all of it is small. But that's our song for tonight, and that's why I chose it. And now it's time for us to go to the throne of grace. If anyone would like to lead us in prayer tonight, you can press the one button on your phone. I'll open the mic, and you can lead us in prayer. Well, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, the great I am, the beginning of every beginning and the end of every end, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our Redeemer, hallelujah, the only true and living God. Heavenly Father, we take time right now to come to your throne of grace to give you praise, honor, and glory because you're worthy. You're worthy to be praised, dear God. Lord, we ask that you look down upon our Bible study tonight. And Holy Ghost, I let you know I'm coming with a spirit of expectancy, expecting that you would not allow your word to return void, expecting that you will give illumination and revelation to your word for your people, that you would open the hearts and the minds of the people that's going to listen so the word of God can take root in their lives and they won't just be a hearer, but they will find a way to become a doer. Lord, I thank you tonight for everything that you have done, all of the things you're doing and what you promised to do, dear God. Heavenly Father, I take time to pray and ask for all of the needs to be met of every person that's on Wednesday night prayer line, prayer list. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and I thank you for your grace. I thank you, dear God, that you're long-suffering, that you're full of goodness, and that you give each and every one of us a measure of faith. All these blessings and others I ask in your darling son Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. Well, since so many more callers has called in, I'm going to say where we're coming from tonight, from the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, the 38th through the 42nd verse. And you guys was asked to read the entire 10th chapter so that tonight you will know just where the word of God is coming from and what's the intention and what's the design for you to receive from it. As always, we have a title, and tonight our title is Stop Sweating the Small Stuff. Whenever I do a lesson, you guys know we do a background. And tonight the background is going to be about Lazarus. And I want you to know that Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, and the poor man named Lazarus that was in Abraham's bosom when he was speaking to the rich man in that parable that Jesus explained, they're two separate people. So because of that, Lazarus is also called Lazarus of Bethany. You see, the place where someone lived is often attached to their names in the Bible when there are more than one person with the same name. You see, the Lazarus I'm talking about right now was the brother of Mary and Martha. You see, these three siblings were friends and disciples of Jesus Christ, and they were people Jesus loved. For you to get the full effect of Lazarus and the other details about Martha and Mary, you have to go to John, the 11th chapter, and there's some information in John, the 12th chapter. But we are in Luke tonight, and this part that we are dealing with, it's a short lesson. It's only 5 verses. So we're going to really see what God is telling us and what he wants us to learn from this. You see what happened, an urgent message came from Bethany to Jesus. His friend Lazarus had become ill, and Mary and Martha wanted Jesus to come and heal him, for he was near death. You see, Jesus then puzzled his disciples and friends because he said that the illness would not lead to death. Rather, it would be for God's glory. That was so important when I read that, because if you read the Bible, many things that God did was, it's whatever God does is for his glory. We were created to give God's glory. So what Jesus said right here when he told his disciples, you know, Lazarus is going to be all right. God is using this situation for his glory. Then Jesus stayed 2 days where he was before suggesting going back to Judea where Lazarus was. You see, during Jesus' delay, Lazarus died. You see, when they arrived at Lazarus' house in Bethany, they found Mary and Martha grief-stricken. And every time you hear they ask what's the shortest verse in the Bible, the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. And this is the scripture where he do it. When he saw Martha and Mary, grief-stricken, he wept. They had buried their brother 4 days earlier. Jesus had not come to help. Jesus did not go earlier because the Jews believed that if they prayed for a period of 3 days, the dead could rise. You know, it was always their customs and their way to believe that if their loved one died, that they could have hope for 3 days because they felt that the dead person could rise. Now, it's amazing how Jesus did this. When they called Jesus, he didn't go. They didn't understand why he didn't go. But you see, it was all a part of the master plan. And Jesus waited till the 3 days was over, and he came on the 4th day. You see, they say they had buried their brother 4 days early. Jesus had not come, and they was heartbroken. But you see, and they were confused, but Jesus did not go. Because if he'd have raised Lazarus from the dead within the three-day period, they would have thought that Lazarus just came alive on his own. Hallelujah. But 4 days, God was going to get the glory. And everybody who seen it would believe and maybe turn to God. Everything became clear when Jesus did the unexpected. He went to Lazarus' tomb and raised him from the dead. Now remember, all this is in John chapter 11. The entire episode of Lazarus' sickness, death, and resurrection worked towards giving glory to God and increasing the faith of Jesus' followers. Just as Jesus had said, when he heard Lazarus was ill. You see, everything that God orchestrates or allows is for his glory. Just before he raised Lazarus from the grave, he prayed to his Father. And he said, I know you hear me, but I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus' prayers was answered, and Lazarus came back to life, and many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and Martha had seen what Jesus did, and they believed on him. See, God used every opportunity to try to help someone to believe. You see, when Jesus called to Lazarus, Lazarus emerged from the tomb, not as a zombie or a half-dead man or undead, but he came fully alive and well. Such is the power of Christ. You see, after Lazarus was raised from the dead, the chief priests and the Pharisees plotted to kill him. You know, they didn't all only want to kill Jesus. They wanted to kill Lazarus because so many witnesses to the miracle believed on Jesus. You see, now, the enemies of Christ couldn't deny the miracle, but the next thing in their view was to destroy the evidence. In this case, the evidence was living, breathing Lazarus. And even though they plotted to kill him, they couldn't stop the truth from spreading. You know, there's sometimes in the Bible when the question is asked, Jesus is the only person that rise from the dead, the only living person that rise from the dead. And sometimes people will say, well, Lazarus was raised from the dead and some other people. But all of those people that was raised from the dead, they died. See, Jesus was raised from the dead, living. So that's the difference. Now, if we look at Luke, the 10th chapter, the 38th through the 42nd verse, which we're going to expound on tonight, I'm going to start with the first, the 38th verse and the 39th verse. And the scripture reads as follows. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. You see, our background lets us know that Martha and Mary also had a brother, Lazarus, which we did for the background. You see, Martha evidently was the oldest of the three, and she must have was the matriarch, and she had plenty control. And then, you know, we could see it's apparent that Martha was likely a woman of means, evidenced by the size of her home and the frequency of her hosting dinner. She is in a home in Bethany, a small town near Jerusalem, where she is hosting Jesus and his disciples. Jesus was well known to Martha and her siblings. On the day that Jesus visited Martha, Martha's desire was to be a great hostess, to serve the best meal with the best possible presentation for Jesus' sake. Her sister Mary, however, was taking some time out to listen to Jesus. You see, being hospitable was very important in the Bible days. And being having hospitality is also important today. You see, we don't think about how we receive people in our houses, if we even let them come in. You know, so many people always boast about, nobody don't come to my house. I don't have people in and out of my house. You know, they never would have to host, you know, or do anything like that. But hospitality is even important today. You see, and then when someone comes, not doing your best, giving your best, and even being concerned with your guest's safety would have caused disgrace to your family back then. So it was very important how they did when someone came to their house. One of the extremes we could look at is in the book of Genesis when Lot was visited by the two angels and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. The men in the town wanted to get the men out of Lot's house to do homosexual acts. You know, Lot knew, you know, how important the safety of someone in your home is, and he wanted to be a great host, and he wanted to protect his guests. So Lot offered up his daughters to the men of Sodom and Gomorrah so that they would leave the people inside his home alone. I mean, hospitality is real important, but what Lot did, this didn't make sense. But he did it. You see, Jesus taught several times concerning how to treat your guests. God gives us the whole truth about biblical characters, their sins, their failures, their victories, and good deeds. And this is why God inspired the Bible to be written, 66 books, and it's filled with examples on how to live. God allowed these characters and these people in their lives to be on display for us to see their sins and don't do them, their failures and turn away from doing those things, their victories, do that, good deeds, repeat that, and we can learn from their examples what to do and what not to do. In fact, this is one of the ways in which God teaches us what we need to know in order to make good choices as believers. We can learn the easy way by knowing and obeying God's word. We can learn the hard way by suffering the consequences of our mistakes. Or we can learn by watching others and taking heed from their experiences. God said, I'm going to show it to you. You do good, this is how good come to you. All the characters in the Bible, he shows us they're good, they're bad, and they're ugly. So it could be something that we could use and take heed to. Because they say it's always better to not make the mistakes of others when you know what the mistake cost them. And if we look at verse 40 to 42, which is the last two verses, the last verses. But Mary was cumbered about much servants and came to him and said, Lord, do thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And then the last verse said, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. This is only five verses. And, you know, it's right there at the end of the 10th chapter of Luke. Jesus had been taught, been teaching, and then all of a sudden, John tells the story. You see, as Mary was distracted by the preparation that had to be made, she became a little cross with Mary and spoke rather abruptly to God. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? You know, Martha tells Jesus, tell her to help me. You see, in this foolish utterance she made, Martha implied that Jesus did not care about her, and she gave the Lord a command, demanding that he force Mary to assist in serving. You see, in her busyness, Martha has taken her eyes off the Savior, the most important guest. You see, but what happens after she did all of these things? Jesus, who was able to see into her soul, and he knew her heart, he diagnosed her problem. She was worried and troubled about servants and had no peace in her heart, causing her to miss the mark of hospitality. You know, so many times we are asked to do certain things, and we sometimes say, yeah, when we really don't mean it. And plenty of times what that does, it causes us to be grumbling and complaining the whole time. We have to learn that it's okay to say no. We have to learn, and the Bible say, let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. Because, you know, plenty of people have so many things that they have taken in their hand, and they cannot handle it in a righteous way. So certain things, you just shouldn't. You know, entertain it if you're not going to do it right. You see, Jesus was correcting her about her attitude while she served. She was serving the Lord directly in person, but she couldn't let the details of fixing the food and providing hospitality replace her attitude of righteousness. You know, there's a certain way that we have to serve people. It's not how much you have to give them. It's the act in which you serve them. You know, sometimes, you know, we want to have this big grand thing. And trying to do it, we may spend more money than we need to. We may be tired of doing it. We may, you know, get behind scheduling, and makes us antsy. And now we doing it, but we doing it grudgingly. Also, you have to realize that, you know, when we decide to do something, we should do all things in honor of God. You see, we don't get credit for doing something for the Lord when it don't line up. The way we do it don't line up with the word of God. You see, God looks at the attitude and the intent in which we do it. And of course, if you're doing it to impress man, the Bible has somewhere saying that if you're doing it to impress man, then you have a man's reward. We don't get credit for doing something for the Lord while grumbling or complaining. And look what they complain about plenty of times, about not getting enough help from others. You know, before you take something in your hand, the Bible tells us to always count the cost. And if you're not going to be able to complete what you're taking in your hand, sometime you need to just leave it alone. And if you're worrying about the wrong things and you're sweating the small stuff, you probably wind up in a place you don't want to be. So Jesus gently told Martha that a simple dinner was more than adequate. And, you know, I don't know what she was preparing, if she was trying to do 15 different meats and 20 different vegetables. You know, Martha wasn't, you know, bad in what she was trying to do. You know, she understood who Jesus Christ was. And he was in her house. So she was like, as they say, throwing on the Ritz. And that's what she wanted to do, to please the Lord. So she wasn't doing anything bad. But when she brought in the complaining and when she want to rebuke Jesus for not making Mary get up, you know, that's when the problems come in. Because her wanting to put on the best shingding she could wasn't wrong in and of itself. But where she allowed it to bring her to became the problem. And you see, she began to sweat all the small stuff. And she lost sight of the bigger picture. You see, he gently told Martha, all of this wasn't necessary. And he said, you know, you're angry at Mary's decision to sit at my feet and hear my words, which is a better choice. You see, these little five verses follow a parable in the 10th chapter of Luke about the Good Samaritan, where Jesus teaches how we should serve others. You see, Mary didn't spend time on things that was not of the most importance at that time. You see, we often spend most of our time doing things of less importance or doing things that won't last. Come on, y'all. Or doing things for the wrong reason. You know, some people do so many things, they think that makes them be the greatest person to ever live. You see, Mary, unlike Martha, didn't sweat the small stuff. But what she did, she stopped and listened to the good part. Because that's what Jesus said, that she is getting the good part. You see, Jesus always encouraged the idea of serving among the followers. So he did not say that Martha's role of service was unimportant. This would have gone against all of his teaching, and we need to know that. It was not maybe what she served, but how she went about doing it. And that's what's the problem with plenty of our lives. Some things we do is not a sin in and of itself, but the reason and the intent that we do it could be the problem. What he did say to her was that being a disciple and learning about the ideas he was explaining were even more important. How many times we take our schedule and we do all kind of things during the day? Come on, y'all. And that's, you know, small stuff compared to the big picture. You see, Jesus gently rebuked Martha, was an act of love to her, and it's something for us to see. Because, you know, if we let the truth be told, we are all Marthas at times when we should be more of a Mary. And through this correcting, Jesus is asking us as well, whom are we serving in our serving and why? You know, you could be doing a lot of things for the wrong reason. Come on, y'all. But when we feel compelled to serve out of self-conscious anxiety over what others think, it's likely we are serving our own glory and not glory for God. You see, Jesus speaks, and he seeks to free us from this slavery by inviting us to stop sweating the small stuff, rest at his feet, and listen to him. It's all right to do parties and host guests and do the activities in your life. God never told you you can't do activities. But it can't be all the activities of the world and no time for Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible said that we should study to show ourselves proved. Workmen's need not being ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. And Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and 18 that, you know, we should grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we need to know the things of God so that we could grow in the things of God. There are people that's been on the battlefield for the Lord, as the old people used to say, for many, 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 many years. And some of them don't know that Genesis is the first book in the Bible and Revelation is the last book in the Bible, or that there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. And he might be the greatest hostess to ever live. See, and I can confess, I know I'm a Martha at times, because if I'm doing anything, and I think it was a little bit because of my teaching from the Bible, how the Bible explained how you treat a guest. So when I have something, you know, I want all my guests to be pleased. I want them to be comfortable. If there's food involved, I want them to be well fed. Come on. So I could understand. But sometimes when we do that, I don't know if we're trying to make a reflection on our characters. Are you known for having the best parties, you known for throwing down, as we say, and things like that? It's okay. But if there have been times that I got overwhelmed with the preparation and it made my attitude be different, it made me begin to grumble and mumble, you know, it'll make you even feel sorry for yourself. Well, I always got to do this. Ain't nobody told you to do this. This is what you wanted to do. So he was like telling Mary and Martha, And he was telling Mary, look, don't sweat the small stuff. Yes, we have to eat. But, you know, long as we got full, you know, it would have been okay. And come get some of this that I'm offering now, which is the good part. You see, we have to sometimes just stop worrying about the problems and start looking to the problem solver. You see, we have to stop telling God over and over and over again how big our problems are and begin to tell our problems how big our God is. You know, people are busy doing work, 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 work. Yes, and it is true because James said that faith without works is dead. So work have its place. But don't let work overrule you preparing yourself in the things of God. Because good work should flow from a Christian centered life, a Christ centered life. They do not produce a Christ centered life. You know, some people think their works tell everybody else who they are, their spirituality. But the Bible never told you, let me see your works. He said, but we want to see your fruit. Many times people think that the more they do, the more spiritual they are. Y'all know anybody like that? Many times they are so busy doing that they're not taking time to learn of God. And really and truly, they're probably not doing a good job at the work if they don't know the requirements that God has for it. If they don't know what the Bible says about these certain things, they could be missing a mark. You know, when we look at the church houses all around the world, there's always many times when there are people so busy doing church work. They're on this program, they're on that program, they got to do this, they got to sing there, they got to open the doors of the church. They got to do this, they got to do that, and they think that put them in a great place in the eyes of God. And all of it is important because usually in a church we know that the same people usually do the work because everybody else is not willing. But you shouldn't get so busy doing church work that you don't take time for the work of the church. And we have to realize when we sit behind them four walls and a roof, the church building, because we know that we are the church, we have to take it to the street. Because the greatest need is on the street. And we should get to a point where every time we do go to a church fellowship, when we leave, it's almost like we could say, this was a sermon a pastor preached a couple of Sundays ago, the church has left the building. And we go out and do the things that God wants us to do. And if any of us is just so busy doing things for people, places, and things, and we are so wrapped up in all that we're doing for whatever reason we're doing it, and we are not doing none of the work of the church, are you sharing the word of God with someone else? The Bible asks us to take care of the people in prison and the orphans, dear God. Hallelujah. The Bible asks us to visit the sick and give relief to the poor. He asks us to encourage one another and love on one another. God said to love him with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. In that 10th chapter, one of the disciples of the lawyer, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, asked Jesus, "Who are you? Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is the total sum of mankind." You know, and Jesus said that what Martha decided to do would not be taken from her. You know that only what you do for Christ gonna last. So if you're walking around being busy, a busybody, doing this and doing that, you have to see if it's going to give God's glory, because that's what's going to follow you through eternity. Because the Bible says that the world that we know, the earth and everything in it, is going to burn away with fervent heat, is in the book of Revelation. And all of this is going to pass away. So while we have time here on earth, we have to decide what we're going to do with the time that we have. And remember, no one knows the day, the time, or the hour when it all ends. We only know why we all have to die, because of sin. And our goal should be able to say, when we go to the judgment seat of Christ, that he's able to say, "My good and faithful servant, well done. You left all of the small stuff alone at some point, and you knew what's important, and you got busy doing those things." Y'all remember the parable of the talents? He gave one 5, one 2, and one 1, and the one that got 5 got 5 more. The one that got 2 had 2, he got 2 more, and the one who had 1, he didn't increase nothing. And Jesus took away the one from the one who had 1 and gave it to the one that had 5. And the 2 that had increased what Jesus left you. And what did Jesus left you? What did Jesus leave you? Well, right now, everything you know comes from Jesus. You know, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and everything that dwells therein. You see, Jesus Christ has given us talents, resources, and time. So when he left and we are operating in the world, we're using the things that he has already given us. You can't give yourself no time. There's a scripture in the Bible say that, what could you do to add another cubic to your life? You can't give yourself gifts of singing or whatever. Because if that was the case, everybody would know how to sing, and I would be one of them as well. It's given, and it's a gift. You didn't earn it. God gave it to you. And then some people will say, well, then I made my own money. I'm a self-made man or woman. If God don't give you the breath to breathe to go out to make the money, you won't have the money. So tonight from this lesson, I guess I have one question to ask. Are you a Martha or a Mary? And I think all of us have a little Martha in us. And the goal is to be more like Mary. And I truly believe that's why God allowed these little 5 verses to end the 10th chapter of Luke. Let's get busy about our Father's business. Everybody, I'm sure, can think of something that they have in their life that they can consider as small stuff. And not just stuff like stuff. You got to remember, one of the things that I was doing when I was studying for this program and when I received the title of it, Stop Worrying About the Small Stuff, you know, it's even like some of the thoughts that come into your head. And it could come there, and, you know, there might be times you begin to entertain it. But, you know, lately I've been saying small stuff and letting it go away. You know, you hear something about you from somebody, even if it was a lie or even if it was the truth, you know, and it worries you a lot. You know, now I can say small stuff because you can't stop nobody from talking about you. You can't stop them from lying on you because they did it to Jesus. And when you could say small stuff, keep it moving. And then you could stay in your lane where your success is. And this is our program for tonight. I thank God for every word that's in the Bible. Sometime you could take some verses out of a chapter and you could bring up a more in-depth lesson. But everything that's in the Bible is for review. It's in there for a reason and for a season. And I thank God for giving us this about Martha and Mary to let us know, you know, how easy it is to, you know, just concentrate on the wrong thing. And he's reminding us what's the good stuff. So each and every one of you, you know, evaluate your life and see things that really don't matter but taking up a lot of space in your life. It won't last, because only what you do for Christ will last. And decide to make some changes. That's our story for tonight. That's our lesson for tonight. If anyone have any questions or concerns, if anyone have anything they can add to this lesson about Martha and Mary, please do so by pressing the 1 button on your phone, and I'll open a mic. If anyone would like to ask for prayer, you could press the 1 button on your phone. If anyone would like to give words of encouragement, you can press the 1 button on your phone. So that's our lesson for tonight. And what I'm going to do at this time is give us a benediction, and we're going to close. And if it's the Lord's will, we will return on next Wednesday. And I pray that each and every one of you be blessed until we meet again. Caller, your number is 504-231. Your mic is open.
Amen. I just want to say thank you so much for the lesson on tonight. It's been a while since I've been on the line consistently, but I was on last week also. But I just want to thank God for you and your faithfulness.
Thank you so much, my sister. I sure thank you for the words of encouragement. And I pray and ask God to bless you. And I'm glad you're back on the program. And
Me
I thank
too.
God not only for you, but for everyone. you know.
Amen.
Until God says anything different, I'm going to just continue to try to be faithful and do the best
Amen.
I can with the
Praise
aid
God.
Of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I never told anybody that I know it all. I never said I was perfect, but I am faithful. And I just thank God for allowing me the opportunity to share the word of God with you guys. And all I can say is bless the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, my sister.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone who would like to say anything? You could press the one button on your phone. If not, I'm going to say the benediction. The benediction is coming from the book of 2 Peter, the 18th verse. And the scripture says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God asks us to grow, because no growth is in anything is a sign that something is wrong. So tonight I ask you to grow and to continue to grow, because we on a journey. This, you know, our spiritual walk is, it doesn't, you know, there's no destination here. It's a journey until Jesus comes back. And we should grow. We should grow as Peter asks us to do. And I just want to let you, each and every one of you, know that God loves you, and so do I. And that's our program for tonight. And if God's will, we'll be back next week. So I pray and you be blessed. And God be with you until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God.